Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 170 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Welcome back. We are done summer. We are back on regular rotation every 2 weeks. Today on the show, we've got a lot to cover. The anti-gunners just won't take the summer off. They are busy hammering on gun owners as usual, getting a little uneasy. We're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're also going to talk about an organization that seems to live almost entirely off of government funding that's spending their time trying to take your guns. Interesting. The CCFR has been two piles of events this summer, thanks entirely to the efforts of our very own Tracy Wilson. She's going to tell us a little bit about that. The CFO of Ontario sent a letter to all Ontario gun ranges limiting the types of firearms that their members can now discharge on their ranges. That ought to take a big bite of crime. All that and more. The CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. With a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter, they have what you need. Plus, free shipping over $250, which includes ammo, or flat rate shipping of $17 under $250. Some conditions apply. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR radio podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we are back. So welcome back, everyone, from summer. Hopefully you had some time to spend with friends and family, get a little bit of time off. I myself got a little bit of time off. You know, it's funny because every spring, maybe even just sliding out of winter, kind of, you know, I start talking crap. And I'm like, I'm taking all this time off in summer this time for sure. You know, it's been almost a decade, right? I'm doing this. I got all these adventures planned. I got just big ideas, and then I get all the stuff together and all my gear, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be doing all this stuff, and then every year just never really pans out. And this year was another one of those, right? I got enough rest, you know. I'm fine. We got things to do, right? And that's the most important thing. But yeah, it was pretty funny. And then I think why I'm bringing it up is like every fall when we come back onto the biweekly schedule, which we are on now, right? I feel a little foolish for having, you know, being so ambitious. You know, I'm gonna live my life at least for, you know, a few weeks in a row kind of thing in the summer. It's like, no, that's just not gonna work. But anyway, there's always next year. And then I think I'm gonna do a little bit more winter stuff this year. But regardless, reason I brought up is we are back on the biweekly schedule again with the podcast, CCFR Radio, and our television show, CCFR Radio on the Air. Now, speaking of that, I just recorded episode 1 of season 4 of CCFR Radio on the Air on Wild TV, so pretty awesome. And, you know, if you think about that, it's a television show. It's like a firearm-related news show on linear television across the entire country on cable, on a specialty channel, obviously, you know, produced by the gun lobby. You know, I think that's pretty remarkable. And we've gone 4 seasons. We're in our 4th season. And actually, let's add some other parts to this conversation. If you remember, we did 2 full seasons of the very first in Canadian history television show focused on sports shooting. Never before have we had anything in the country like that. We did 2 seasons of that, which was the CCFR's Canada Downrange, one on Wild TV and one on another network. Pretty awesome. And then we did, I think, 3 different 1-hour specials throughout our whole experience as Canada's gun lobby. And then on top of that, we did the 4-part limited series on WOW TV, Gun Ban Canada Exposed. And I'll tell you, that's probably the piece of work that I'm most proud of. I mean, not my part in it, because I'm not a professional broadcaster. I don't have the personality for that kind of stuff. But it was the scripting. It was the research and the actual scripting of the arguments and all the rest of that stuff, the points and assembling the facts and fact-checking it, and making sure all that was available. It's pretty cool. So I'm most proud of that. If you didn't see that on WOW TV, you can still see it on our YouTube channel. I think there's probably a playlist still sitting up there for Gun Ban Canada Exposed. If not, go to playlists and I think you'll find it in there, because I made that playlist myself. I just don't know if it's on there because I, you know, took my hands off the social media thing, you know, a couple of years ago. So anyway, who would have ever thought 8.5 years ago, when the CCFR was a Facebook group that started and wanted to fill the gaps in Canadian firearm advocacy, who ever thought that we would get this far, right? I think it's pretty remarkable. And the reason that we were able to get this far is because gun owners supported us. You know, gun owners supported us so we could do this work, which you saw us working hard, so you supported us more, so we were able to do more work. And just what we've created is pretty neat, you know? Yeah, 4 seasons of a firearm news show on TV. Strange. Anyway, I ain't complaining. It's bringing the community together, getting the word out to people that normally wouldn't know all these things that are going on. So it's been quite useful. All right, moving on. So as you know, a few episodes ago, I talked about the fact that I went hunting for the first time in my life, and it was for spring bear. And of course, I was entirely unsuccessful. I was unsuccessful in even seeing a bear. Like, somebody else saw a bear, but I didn't see it. So I'm not giving up. I was invited. I was just invited to go on a hunt in a week and a half with Scott Carpenter, who is currently the president of the CCFR and also one of the owners of International Shooting Supplies in Surrey, British Columbia. Scott invited me up to a hunt camp in northern British Columbia in a week and a half to hunt for elk, and which I'm excited about the elk thing. And white-tailed deer, and I'll take my bear tag as well. So I got that old bear tag that was, unused, completely unpunched or cut or whatever. And I got 2 more tags, and I'm going. So I'm hoping, not in the next episode, because I have to record that one early because I'll be gone when I normally record it. So I'll be recording that next week. But the episode after that one, I'm hoping to have a great, successful hunting story to share with you. Let's hope, man. All right. Last thing, I was going to show a video that Chrystia Freeland had done. Not a video that she did, but it was a press conference that was aired on CPAC. And the video itself was just outrageous to me for a variety of different reasons. Now, I'm not going to do that whole thing this time around because Tracy and I have a fairly long conversation to play for you. And then on top of that, I have to do another podcast like next week. I have to pre-record it because I'm going hunting. So I think I'm going to do it next week. But make sure that you check it out next week because it's really interesting. It's such a perfect example of this government, of how it operates and how disingenuous and, in my opinion, malevolent they are. So anyway, you got to check that out. It's quite remarkable. And I want to share one more thing with you. I found that video. Let me tell you how I found it. I found it scrolling through the CCFR's X feed, right? Formerly known as Twitter. So I, every once in a while, bump into something on the CCFR, the algorithm will give me something from the CCFR. For some reason, it's associated both of us. But anyway, and I look at that, and then every once in a while, I'll go to the CCFR's feed and start scrolling down, and I'll tell you, it is really awesome. Like, we get complimented all the time about the CCFR social media work, right? Because it is phenomenal. I think I'd mentioned that we were on, I don't know, 7 or 8 platforms. I think I missed a whole bunch of them. I think we're around 11 platforms, maybe more, maybe 12. And our social media guys, huge thank you to our social media guys, Silas and Brandon. Thank you guys for the great work that you do. These guys nail it every day. They do the newsletter and they do all of our social media accounts. They make videos and they find stuff and they research and they aggregate it all for you. If you're not subscribed to our newsletter, make sure that you do that. We only send one newsletter a week. We don't spam you, but it's the one place where you have full-time people scouring the internet and the firearm community and the government looking for things that you need to know about. So if you can, go to firearmrights.ca or ccfr.ca, scroll right down to the bottom, and you'll see how to get on our mailing list. Like I said, we won't spam you. We don't sell your information, but get on that newsletter list if you aren't. And if you are on it and you're not getting it, check your spam folder and drag it over to your inbox and create a rule so that it doesn't go in there. But anyway, I started perusing the CCFR X feed, and it is just awesome. Like, it is a great way to see what crime trends are like, what's going on for firearms, you know, the government's reaction to firearm crime, the government's actions against licensed gun owners, some of our content. It really is a really great feed. And I shouldn't say I was surprised, but I was surprised. How about that? And now I'm actually going there quite often just to catch up on what's going on in Canada when it comes to that kind of things that affect gun owners. So anyway, make sure you check that out. All right, that's all I got. Let's bring Tracy on. All right, via Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Kiltaka!
How's it going?
Good. So that's it. Summer's over. It is now fall time.
It sort of is. Have you had a good month? I mean, it's been a month since we did a podcast.
Yeah, like I've been busy as anything, but yes, beautiful. We've had fantastic weather here in Ottawa too, so I'm not complaining.
Well, we lost about 2 weeks of our expected global warming. It was rainy and it was cold. It was just like winter. And we lost 2 full weeks of summer in August, no less.
You're not paying enough carbon tax out there.
That's I was the paying problem. Too much carbon tax. That's what happened.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, I tweeted that. It was quite popular. This is what happens when you pay too much carbon tax.
Yeah, you get what you pay for.
So, I don't know, 600 people thought it was funny. 4 or 5 people were triggered by it. But either way, all right, yeah. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. So let's get started. The first thing we're going to talk about is actually kind of interesting. So I think it was about, I don't know, a month or 5 weeks ago or whatever. Our friends over at Poly Saint-Sylvain came out with an open letter. They're worried that their agenda is not being carried out by the Liberals, and they ended up with a full court press. You remember this one?
Yeah, that's right. So I think it was July 19th. The House had risen already for summer barbecue season. All the politicians were gone. And Polly wrote a letter to Public Safety Minister Dominic LeBlanc. Both, you know, it was begging him to do stuff, but at the same time also kicking him in the shins. But they outlined their grievances with the slow process of kicking in the doors of legal gun owners and confiscating our firearms, you know, completely ignoring the historic highs in gang crime and, you know, gang shootings with illegal guns. But there's 4 main things that they are now demanding of Public Safety Minister Dominic LeBlanc. And that's 1, hurry up and confiscate guns from sports shooters and hunters before an election comes, because then it'll be too late. 2, write an order in council to ban the guns from failed amendments G4 and G46. You'll remember them from C21 and resurrect CFAC. 3, consult with them on strengthening magazine restrictions. They want a limit of 5 rounds for all guns, handguns included. They think having 5 for this gun and 10 for that gun is nuts. So it should just be 5 for everything, and create some sort of pre-authorization process for new firearm models. They say that currently new models that comply with the law are actually just circumventing it.
Yeah, compliance is actually a loophole to these people.
I'm telling you, I will buy one of those red clown noses one of these days. But there's a couple of great quotes here if you've got time for them. And this is from the story. Of course, they wrote a letter, and of course, the Canadian press picked it up. Here they are poking Dominic LeBlanc in the eye. It says, we are beginning to suspect that either the Liberal government is not competent enough to deliver on its 9 years of promises to ban assault weapons, or that it has abandoned its commitment to do so because it fears further stoking the wrath of the gun lobby.
That's us, by the way.
That's us.
Yeah.
And then my second favorite quote was this one. What a devastating legacy it would be for the Liberal Party to have wasted all that public support and bungled all those opportunities at its disposal during its decade-long tenure to implement a comprehensive ban on assaulty weapons in Canada. So, yeah, they're really, really smacking the minister across the face with this.
Yeah.
And, of course, the press picks it up, rolls it out, and doesn't need any comment from the very people that are affected.
Yeah, the stakeholders, right?
Right.
You know, and that's interesting. It's like all they need to do is, you know, whatever, right? Send a few emails out, and the Canadian subsidized media is right there to like, oh, we'll make this a story. We'll push it out there.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Here's the interesting part is that even though a few media outlets published that that letter and did some op-eds and got some quotes from them, of course, nobody reached out to all the people having their property taken. But anyway, we already talked about that. But then I guess they didn't get enough attention because here comes that group, Nahl.
Nahl.
Nahl, y'all. I don't know. It's the weirdest, dumbest acronym ever. But anyway.
Yeah, it's horrible.
So they came out and now they have an open letter and then they say that they're representing whatever, right? 40 organizations, where we heard that before. But anyway, tell us about that. It's kind of an interesting story too.
Yeah, that's sort of been developing through the day. I saw some news stories were saying, you know, 12 organizations, 22, 31, I don't know. I know that I spoke with an MP today. He told me they're all intertwined anyways. So I think if you just open up a whole bunch of organizations, then you can look like you've got broad support for something. But yes, so they issued a letter to the Liberal government today saying they need to hurry up and implement some of the measures within C-21 in order to address domestic violence. I've got the four measures here that they're looking at. They want the measure makes an individual ineligible to hold a firearms license if they are subject to a protection order or have been convicted of an offense involving violence. This one in particular, which obliges a firearms chief firearms officer, who has reasonable grounds to suspect that a licensee may have engaged in domestic violence or stalking to revoke that license within 24 hours. So that means they are obliged, it's not an option, they are obliged to revoke, not suspend, not review, but revoke a firearms license if they just have grounds to suspect that somebody did something. I don't know, that's a little testy. Another one, which automatically revokes the license of an individual that becomes subject to a protection order and requires them to deliver their guns to a peace officer within 24 hours. And then the brief also calls for new regulatory measures to ensure compliance with the verification process. So, you know, now if you want to sell even a non-restricted, you have to call the CFO, verify the other person's license, you get a transfer number, and that's the deal. So they want more laws to make sure that those laws are actually being followed. I don't know if this is in response to the drastic rise in domestic violence and violence against women that's being studied by the Status of Women Committee in Parliament. But, you know, I'm just going to speak freely here with a little bit of experience in domestic violence. I'm not going to get into my own personal story. But I think there's a lot of resources out there that could be made available to women to encourage them to leave and stay gone and proceed with their life. All these measures already exist. These powers already exist. They're already there. They can already use them. So, yeah, I almost feel like it's just hashing up the gun debate again just to maybe, you know, cause some interference, run interference. For a very struggling Liberal government.
Well, and that, you know, Polly and the rest of these people are getting worried, right?
Oh,
they wanted all this national confiscation program, and it didn't happen, and it's not going to happen. And they're getting worried. And now whenever they get worried, they start, you know, pillorying the Liberal government, you know, and we won't invite you to our national, you know, Day of Remembrance, and you know, we'll imply that you're incompetent, and wouldn't it be a shame if you blew this and all this, whatever.
The
Liberals And the NDP and the Bloc Québécois and the Greens, they do this for political reasons. It has nothing to do with public safety, as we said a million times. But, you know, it's interesting. When it comes to Noel, anyway, what did you say what that stands for, by the way?
The National Association for Women in Law, and they have a mandate of having feminist legislation.
Okay. All right. Noel. They should have thought that one through. They did not think.
No.
You know, I think from the perspective of the gun lobby, I, as a gun owner that's being affected by all this stuff and that goes out of my way every single day to comply with the law and to live as an example to other gun owners, you know, it's, I think regular gun owners, they don't want people that engage in domestic violence to have access to firearms. We don't want people that shouldn't have access to firearms having easy legal access. Like that's, I mean, that's the meeting you halfway part. But stuff like, what was it here? Hold on, I made a note. To revoke someone's license on reasonable suspicion that they may have committed an offense within 24 hours, like that's pretty hasty. Especially when you're trying to launch a miniature investigation to find out whether or not that's true. And the you know, stuff like that, it all sounds great and it plays politically well. And this NAHL group that depends on government funding to even exist and has for almost forever, we looked into them a little bit, they should know better than this. Because when you have a license revoked, and I think most gun owners might know this, certainly instructors know it. If you ever have your license revoked for any reason, you not only lose your license, but you have to go through the Canadian Firearm Safety course again. You have to reapply for a new license. Like that process can take a year, depending on whether or not you have a firearm safety course available wherever you live. Like sometimes there's 6 months waiting period for that, like a waiting list. And it's like they... People like this, they're like, I don't care what the consequences are for people that haven't done anything at all. I just want what I want. And if you disagree with it, you're a misogynist and you're against feminist causes and feminism in the law and stuff. And it's just like, man, it's just a shame that we've lost the ability to have just a reasonable conversation where we think about the other person's position. What are you really trying to do? You know what? I think I can help you because I want the same thing too. Like it's just such a strange time, and it's so much propaganda. You know, let me mention this. I don't want to go too long on this, but you know, I every once in a while I'll go over to the Doctors for Protection from Guns Twitter feed to see what kind of ridiculousness they're up to. And of course, if you start scrolling down their feed, it's just the stupidest thing you've ever seen. But again, it's just. Everything is an assault weapon. You know, Pierre Poilievre, if he ever gets in, he wants to legalize assault weapons in Canada. Just the language and the propaganda, it's so confrontational. It's so incendiary. And they do all this kind of, you know, they exhibit all these behaviors and then they accuse everyone else of doing that. And it's just, this is just another example. Like, why would you even ask about things like that? And by the way, and I know I promise not to go on and on about it. By the way, how exactly is it that there will be a reduction in violent crime involving firearms and even domestic violence if you change the magazine capacity law from 10 rounds for handguns to 5 rounds? Like, I'd like somebody to sit down and just explain to me why that change in the law needs to be made.
Well, for me, I don't know. I don't know if I'm speaking out of turn, but I'm speaking as a woman who has a little bit of experience. For me, I think it's disingenuous, if not dangerous, to hide behind a veil of, you know, reducing domestic violence to enact measures that have nothing to do with it, right? I mean, if a person, if male or female, if they are an abuser, a violent abuser, you cannot punish millions of other people for something they haven't done, number one. And number two, focus on that person, getting the other person to safety and focus on punishing that person. Keep them in jail. You know, there's a million things that we could do before trying to strengthen the measures that that already exist. All of this stuff exists. And I can tell you right now, if you are a woman in a position of domestic violence and you're being abused by somebody and you call 911 and you say, my violent domestic abuser is after me with a firearm right now, you watch and see what the response is. It's not, they don't take it lightly. So I think it's just disingenuous to say these things. And yeah, I mean, again, there's a million things I think we could do to empower women to keep themselves safe and stay safe rather than doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. These guys just, it's such a mess.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on. We've talked about these people enough. Okay, yes. So Parliament is returning in a couple of weeks. So number one, I think you have the date. And number two, even though Parliament has been off for summer break, there's been multiple committees recalled because of, I don't know, I want to use an inflammatory term like, you know, Canada is collapsing on, you know, in some ways, but just massive crime and violence and chaos and scandals and ethics violations and whatever. Give us kind of a lowdown on what's going on there.
Yeah, that's right. So as you know, the House rose back on June 19th for the summer break, and they all go on the barbecue tour and pancake breakfast tour and all the stuff that they do. It will resume on September 16th, just in time for my birthday, which is always a great birthday present. But they have had the largest number of emergency committee meetings ever over the summer. So I'm going to run through these pretty quick. They had a study on foreign interference at Procedure and House Affairs, PROC. They had a study at PROC for cyber attacks on MPs. SECU met to discuss the foiled terrorist plot in Toronto. SECU met to discuss with the Ministers of Public Safety and Immigration over security concerns. Industry met over conflict of interest, contracts to Sustainable Development Technology Canada. The Environment Committee met to study caribou protection in the boreal forest. I support that one. Public Accounts met to study the ArriveCan app. Government Operations, OGGO, met to study the outsourcing of contracts. Ethics Committee met to discuss the compliance of Minister with Conflict of Interest Act. The Status of Women Committee met, you may have seen the videos about this, it was a complete clown show, met to discuss the Rising Violence Against Women report. And of course, it devolved to the point where witnesses left in tears. International Trade Committee met to discuss protecting Canadian manufacturing from Chinese imports. Government Operations and Estimates met to discuss the purchase of a posh residence for the Consul General in New York. Basically, it has been a very busy summer full of corruption, chaos, and incompetence. So normally the summer is a little shy on politics, but it has not been this summer. There's been lots to watch.
Craziness.
Yes.
Just craziness. What? Yeah. Crime, chaos, and ethics violations.
Yeah.
Nonstop.
Yeah, it's been nuts.
Yeah, missing money.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. This is a very negative episode. There's a lot of crappy stuff going on.
Well, there's positive stuff going on too.
Well, we're gonna get to some of that, but one more. We're gonna have to trudge through one more kind of negative topic. So there was a letter sent by the CFO of Ontario to, I think, every range in Ontario.
Yeah, that's
limiting.
Right.
The firearms that they can actually shoot on the range.
Yeah, so this was a letter that was sent to all ranges in Ontario from the Ontario CFO. And I did follow up with the Ontario CFO with an email because I've had a couple of dozen clubs reach out to me right now for clarification. But there is a line within the memo that was sent that says very specifically and exactly, other than for public agents, the use of prohibited firearms is strictly prohibited. Now, a lot of people are saying they are referring to the guns that were banned, the prohibs from the May 2020 OIC. And that may very well be, but that's not what it says. And unfortunately, I think we've learned our lesson over the years that you have to follow what it says and not the intent behind it. So I did email the CFO to clarify that and maybe resend out a memo, because as you know, 12-6 prohibs, you're allowed to take them to the range and shoot them. So a lot of clubs are like, well, wait a minute, do we stop our members from coming to the club to shoot their 12-6 class, or like, what do we do? So it is imperative that they get back to me. I did not hear back from them, although we did have a long weekend in between. So I'm cutting them a little bit of slack on that. I will follow up with them tomorrow, however. But even just today, I had two more clubs reach out, and they're just not sure what to do. So to me, I think the intent is okay. They're just saying don't use your 2020 OIC banned guns at the range. But unfortunately, it doesn't say that. There is no exemption in the clause for 12-6, and that's a bit of a problem because, yeah, that's a really big problem, actually. So in any event, I don't have a solution for that right now at time of taping, but we will get the response back from the CFO, get it out there for everybody, and hopefully it was just a little bit of funky wording on that. We'll get it clarified.
Yeah. Well, you know, oddly enough, the CFO's office, they're the firearms program.
Yeah.
You know, they shouldn't be like, well, I mean, we're writing it this way, but you guys know what we mean. Like, no, yeah. I think you can spend an extra 15 minutes and get the proper wording to make sure that you're not, you know, putting people at legal risk who show up with their firearms that they've shot at that range for decades. But anyway.
Yeah. I even had a retailer, a really good friend of mine, reach out and he says, oh, that's just CFO lingo. You know, when they're referring to prohibited handguns, they'll say prohibited handguns. And when they say prohibited firearms, it refers to the long guns from 2020. And I'm like, I don't care if it's CFO lingo. The statement is very clear and it says prohibited. The use of prohibited firearms is strictly prohibited. Handguns are firearms. So, yeah, I would just feel better just to have that clarified and then we'll know, right? I'd rather be sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, all right. Let's sweep that off. We have a couple of positive things to talk about. And I think we're going to break into chatting about your summer tour. You've been to numerous different events around the country and you have kind of a report on the state of gun culture in Canada-ish.
Well, I am happy to report that it is alive and well. Now, although I didn't hit as many events this summer as I did the previous summer, I am getting old and things are happening. August was exceptionally busy for me. But I do want to mention back in July, on the 14th of July, I traveled to Windsor, Ontario for the General Gun Golf Tournament. This is our third year doing it. It's an annual event. It is a ton of fun. I'm not even a golfer. It doesn't matter. We just go and have a blast and you get to drive around in the cart, have a great time. And there's a banquet dinner at the end and we had politicians there and just had a wonderful time. In any event, they were able to raise over $14,000 at a one-day golf tournament for the CCFR. So, you know, it's not just a good time. It's a good cause. It's with great friends. And a big thank you to Brian and everybody down at General Gun for having me out. And watch for it to be posted for next year. They've already got a date. So
yeah, that's awesome. Really appreciate the help.
Yeah. And then I was out on the 18th of July out in your neck of the woods for a calendar shoot with the Gunny Girls in British Columbia. And that was a lot of fun. We've actually just been reviewing those pictures the last few days. So stay tuned for fun news about the calendar. And then we jump right into August. So from the 7th to the 10th, I was at IPSC Nationals in Peterborough, Ontario. And this was kind of exciting having it here in my home province. I got to drive instead of fly. So my luggage came with me. That was awesome. We had a great event. I think there was over 500 competitors. It was crazy. A couple of really exciting weather events going on. I think we had tornado warnings and everything else, but we made it through it. We had a beautiful banquet. I got to speak and I got to introduce Michelle Ferrari, the MP for the area, and she came out and spoke to the crowd. So that was a lot of fun. On August 16th, we had the calendar photo shoot for the East Girls here in Ontario. Shout out to Mandolin Mayhew for letting us use her location for photos. On the 23rd, I was at the 15th anniversary of That Hunting Store in Richmond. That's kind of a suburb of Ottawa, kind of on the outskirts. Really great store. They've been huge supporters of the CCFR, done multiple draws for us. So it was my absolute pleasure and honor to go out and celebrate 15 years of business. So nice family business out there. On the 24th of August, I was at Lower Trent Valley Fish and Game Ladies Day for the biggest ladies range day in Canada that I know of. I'll add that caveat. But we had 135 girls come out to the range. It was a fun day of shooting and laughing, and we gave prizes away. We had a beautiful lunch thanks to S&J Hardware. And just the smiles on women's faces was just, it was absolutely perfect. So That was a really fun event. Shout out to Nick for all his work on that. And then on the 26th, 2 days later, we were at Odell Range Day. And of course, we got to try a whole bunch of new prototypes, that new, the Kinect Maverick, that lever action. It was there, so we got to try that. That was a lot of fun. And of course, that's an invite-only range day for industry members to try out new prototypes, and it's very exciting to go. I had the whole women's program with me because we were already on the road for Ladies' Day, so I just brought them all. It was a great time. And then at time of taping, we are mere days away from TACOM Canada. That's coming up. That's going to be a great event in Mississauga at the EY Center, so make sure, or the International Center, sorry, make sure you come out to that September 6th through 8th. And the 28th to 29th of September, I will be at Wolverine Days out in Vernon, Manitoba. And it's a little late this year because they are scheduling it to coincide with their 35 amazing years in business. So that's crazy. 35 years of Wolverine supplies. So I'll be out at Wolverine Days. And then October 5th, we have a Ladies Range Day at Eastern Ontario Shooting Club here in Ottawa, my home range. So yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah, I'm just taking it easy this summer, you know.
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of time to fill, and I thought you had more.
That's all I got.
All right. Well, I guess that'll just have to do.
Yep.
So yeah. Huh, I took it easy this year. Not as bad as last year.
Well, it still wasn't, to be honest. I still had more weekends. I had twice as many weekends off this summer as I did last summer. Last summer I had two. This summer I had four. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. And So just coming back to, if you're watching this when I've uploaded it, which is on Thursday, if you're watching this on Thursday, then tomorrow you and I will be at TACOM.
Yes.
I'm doing a talk on Saturday at 1 p.m., I believe.
Yes.
And you and I will be at the booth and or walking around. So make sure that you come by. Support gun culture in Canada. We're getting close, right? We're only a year and a bit away from the next election, one way or another. So, and when that election happens and the Conservatives form a majority government, a clear majority government, which they will, unless something cataclysmic happens, then things are going to change for us and our community. So anyway, keep the spirit alive. Come on down to TACOM, see us. We've got a virtual electronic shooting range at the booth. Well, just across from the booth. We got our big booth there. You and I will both be there. It's going to be some fun. So
it is. And it's really important to keep these events alive and going, because if we quit, if we stop, then we're giving in and letting them win. And I refuse.
Yeah.
So yeah, come out and check out that CCFR gun range. Thanks to the Quebec team. It's pretty awesome. I saw it in Montreal and it's a lot of fun. I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll challenge some people to a shootout.
Well, yeah. And it's free. We're not charging for it.
It's free. Yeah. It's just an attraction. It's just for fun.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, how long was that? That was 27 minutes.
People will look at it as a treat. They don't have to hear us drone on and complain forever. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, now we are back on the regular schedule. It's every 2 weeks. So we'll have lots more to talk about soon. But anyway, thanks for the update. And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, we'll see you then.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode, episode 172 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Make sure you share the podcast. You know, we're heading down the home stretch here. Not quite the home stretch, but we're getting there. There's going to be an election at the very latest 1 year from this November. It's getting there. So we need to muster all the political strength that we possibly can. So make sure you share the podcast. Make sure you get on our email list. We don't spam you. We don't sell your information. We just want to make sure that we have a way to get a hold of you. We send one email each week, which is a meticulously curated, awesome email created by our social media guys, Brandon and Silas, who do a phenomenal job. It is everything you need to know that week in firearms ownership in Canada. So really important. Get on there if you aren't. And if you are on that list and you don't think you're getting the emails, go in your junk or spam folder, drag it over to your inbox and create a new rule in your email application that it doesn't go to the spam folder anymore, because it's really important information. All right, now I'm going to leave you with the most important announcement, which is CCFR Field Officer of the Month, but not for 1 month, my friends, 3 months, because we've been on the summer schedule and hadn't had that info, and now we have it. So starting back from May, which would have been, you know, when we would announce that in June. So Field Officer of the Month for the CCFR for May 2024 is our great friend, Michael Deakin from British Columbia. Congratulations, Michael. Thank you so much for your work. Really appreciate it. For June 2024 is our good friend, Baz Kanda from Ontario. Baz, long time volunteer. I look forward to hanging out with Baz at the Toronto Sportsman Show every year. So anyway, thank you so much for your work, Baz. Really appreciate it. And for July 2024 is Karen Leckie from Alberta. Thanks so much for your work, Karen. Really appreciate it. And I know I say it every time, but it's like a huge chunk of what the CCFR does. As far as activity under the CCFR banner happens, probably 80% of it happens because of the efforts of volunteers. And as someone who is hyper busy myself, the most important commodity in my life is time, right? I'm running out of time on a few different levels, if you know what I mean on that, about that. But, you know, just time is the most important thing because I just can't create any more of it. I can't buy it or whatever. And so for me to scrape off extra time to volunteer for a cause or volunteer for an organization is just the ultimate donation, right? So I just have to say it over and over again. I can't tell you how meaningful it is for people to spend their time growing this organization. If you look at what we've done over the last 8.5 years, coming up 9 years, it's pretty remarkable what we've created together. And when I say together, I mean it, because we couldn't have done it without all the volunteers, all the field officers. So anyway, thank you all again. And in case you forgot, what you get for being CCFR Field Officer of the Month, you get a $100 promo code. You know how those go. For the CCFR shop, you also get a year's free subscription from CATF, Canadian Access to Firearms, graciously donated every month by our great friend Donovan Dewis over there at CATF. So thank you, Donovan, for that. And then you get recognized, of course, on the podcast and on the television show, which I just recorded as well. These three names will be on there. And I think Donovan is starting to print the pictures of our field officers of the month in the paper as well. So pretty cool. So anyway, thanks again, everyone, for all of your work. That's going to do it for this episode. I will see you soon. I'll be recording it in a week from now because I got to do it early because I'm going on that elk hunt. Wish me luck on that, but we'll talk more about that in the next episode. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Take care. We'll see you in the next one.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.